Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about finding deep meaning in Resurrection Day by talking about the many convincing proofs in the wake of Jesus' death, burial, and raising from the dead.
Well, that concept of convincing proofs is important because these people were very convinced, and the resurrection cemented everything because Jesus said it was going to happen. He said that he was going to be rejected. He was going to be crucified. He made it pretty clear that he was going to raise from the dead. And so there were many convincing proofs, and that's what really propelled the beginning of the early church.
Right.
Yeah, and
the
everything
huge
that happened,
movement.
It happened in the book of Acts. And I'd kind of like to think about that because you know, the resurrection is woven into all the letters of the apostles as well as the four gospels. The four gospels are talking about the fact that it's going to happen, and it's kind of revealed a little bit at a time in the right way for each gospel with the purpose of each gospel. Well, then as that happens,
then you hit Acts.
Yeah, and then you have the letters that are written in the wake. And so these are very convinced people. And I just want to take a moment here and give a commercial for God. No other religion provides supernatural proof for its claims like authentic kingdom teaching from the God story. The resurrection is attested to by hundreds and even thousands of people, and hundreds of thousands when you consider how the resurrection story is launched every year, every decade, every century. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I heard a story just in our generation. You've heard of Lee Strobel. He wrote the book, The Case for Christ.
Yeah,
he's written several books. I did not know his history at all, but there's a movie coming out now. So I heard, I saw him interviewed, and I was just struck by, you know, what God does in every generation and what he did to someone like him. He was an investigative journalist, and he was an absolute devout follower of no God.
Absolutely.
And so his wife became a believer, and they had children. And, you know, he really didn't like this, what was going on in their family, that she was a believer. She wanted to have the kids baptized. She wanted to teach them. He wasn't for that at all. So he set out to prove that any kind of faith in God was an absolute farce and that God didn't exist. And, of course, God showed up in his life. And convinced him that he was. Hugh Ross is another person in our generation who's just reaching a different group of people for Christ. He's an astrophysicist. He did the same thing. He set out to say, okay, I think that there's a God, but I want to find the true God. So he went through all the different religions. Because he was a scientist, he insisted that faith, that whatever faith he believed, had to completely fit what he saw in science. And the Almighty God is the only one that does that. It's fun to see who God has put into each generation to bring himself to the people.
Well, in my experience, I have a lot of conversations with people who really don't think it through. You know, they kind of know about Jesus, blah, 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 resurrection.
Well, they've heard of him. They don't know anything.
Yeah, but they have not experienced it or investigated it for themselves.
Right.
And I'd like to kind of go back to, you know, this launching that happened in Acts chapter 1, the resurrection reality fueled the life of the early church into a tidal wave throughout the empire. And I mean throughout the empire, you know, and that's part of the fullness of times. You know, you had the Roman roads and you had the Roman civilization, you had the Roman government, and that was part of the deal. That's how there was like an artery. There were arteries all the way through the world that the gospel basically traveled on, and which made it just not only a Jewish event. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, that's the book of Luke. So Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. About all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. And to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God.
And I love what you say about a tidal wave, because continuing in Acts there, in Acts 2, it says, then like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. You know, just you talk about a tidal wave or a wildfire. And I love this one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. right in verse 1. It says, "One more thing, friends, pray for us. Pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you." I mean, what a clear picture. That's out of the Message, because I just like some of the imagery in this translation. But and pray that we'll be rescued from these scoundrels who are trying to do us in. But the groundswell, the tidal wave, you know, all of those things just show that it was racing. The Spirit was taking it, and people were responsive and spreading it.
Well, one thing you can't argue with is that not only are there many convincing proofs, but look at us. You and I are sitting here in this studio, and we both have come to know Christ. We didn't see him. We didn't experience any of the miracles. We weren't there during the 40 days, but are you pretty convinced that Jesus is the Son of God?
I am. You know, after they are up in the room waiting for Jesus to come, they agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer, the women included, also Jesus' mother Mary and his brother. So, you know, they're in the upper room, and I just love what you say. They were devout, they were devoted, so are we, but it's just such a good comment. They agreed they were in this for good.
So you have the resurrection, and you put that together with the whole concept of Messiah, because mm-hmm. Messiah... Yeah, it's more than a musical presentation, young or old. But you put that together, and the idea that Messiah meant to smear. Mm-hmm. So the picture is one of the lamb's blood, the covering of blood. So Messiah and the resurrection was preached and modeled through Moses and the prophets. So I want to bump to the other end mm-hmm. of the book of Acts, because they're kind of like bookends. We're just kind of talking a little bit about how it launched. But listen to this. So, having obtained help from God, and this is Paul talking, or this is Luke explaining, "I stand this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place." This is really important, because, you know, Jesus completes something that was started all the way at the dawn of time.
Right.
"That Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." And I'm just reminded of that passage, that part that where he says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold."
Yes, I love how he ties it from the beginning of that verse to the end, to small and great, and then to the Jewish people and the Gentiles. It just sounds like he's talking to children and kings, Jewish and Gentile. I mean, that includes everyone. It includes little to old and every ethnicity.
So when you think about Resurrection Day, and you think about all the different things about the resurrection, the idea that there were many convincing proofs, it's not just that we need to be convinced by them, but the people that were living at the time mm-hmm. were convinced, because there weren't just one or two proofs.
Right.
And I said this the other day to a class that I was teaching. I said, you know, when you really look at the other miracles of the other great leaders, religious leaders in history, they're pretty lame.
They have a couple.
Yeah, they're pretty lame in comparison to this.
Maybe.
Because this was done in front of the most committed religious people of antiquity.
And very powerful people at the time.
Yes, they were. Hey, so there are a lot of different things that come out of these many convincing proofs. So if you have wrestled with that yourself, or haven't had a chance to do that yourself, I would really encourage you, just go to the book of Acts, go to the ends of the Gospels, and read what's there. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about some of it yesterday, talked about a little bit of it today. But there are things that come out of these many convincing proofs. And these are the things that I think are really helpful to me as a Christ follower, as I live in the time that I live in. Because I didn't see these things firsthand. I've had to experience them by faith.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. "The resurrection is our guarantee of our eternal inheritance. And here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so that we can obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." Now that's Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the depth. Look at the depth of how the resurrection, the life of Christ has just become a part of the fiber of who he mm-hmm. is as a person.
And just finding out, you know, yesterday we talked about how he was telling Jesus, you know, you're not going to be killed. You know, change that attitude, Jesus. And here he is. He's now totally convinced and understands, believes.
So the resurrection in 1 Peter 1 is our guarantee of an eternal inheritance. So that's a big deal. That's, mm-hmm. you know, you have the convincing proofs, but then you have the benefits that come from it. Also, Peter has to say this over in chapter 3 of the same book, 1 Peter. By his resurrection, we're now free to live in the freedom of a clear conscience. And I love this because mm-hmm. the resurrection isn't just merely a deliverance from eternal death, which is a huge deal.
Right.
But we've been delivered now. Mm-hmm. So corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through, here it is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God. So not only did he raise up, but he went somewhere, and he went to the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him.
It's breathtaking. But you started this out with that because of his resurrection, we're now free to live, you know, with a clear conscience.
Yeah.
And I want to pause there because I remember a time in your life when God was dealing with you with a clear conscience. And I want to just, you know, personalize this a little bit.
Well,
Tell me about that.
A brand new believer, and I went to a seminar where a guy talked about this out of the book of Proverbs and explained some things from the scriptures. And I realized that all of a sudden it dawned on me that I did not have a clear conscience. You know, I was kind of like, the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress Christian. You know, uh-huh. I had all this junk on my back, this weight I was carrying. And this guy in the seminar recommended that I just start making a list. And, you know, there were things that were easy to take care of where I defrauded somebody, you know, I owed somebody for a guitar or whatever it might have been, and I was able to do that. But the relational
thing. Okay, so you owed somebody for a guitar. What'd you do? Did you pay them? Or?
I called them and I said, hey, I'm sorry, and I'm going to send you the money. And they were shocked because it was years earlier.
That was in junior high or something when that happened?
High school, anyway. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so that was just what I was supposed to do. And he said, okay. And I went down the list of things that I could do. And then wherever I could, from a clear conscience perspective, I reconciled any kind of relationship that I could. Because you can't do that with every relationship, but you can with some. Well, mm-hmm. what I realized as it was happening is it was like things were coming out of that pack on my back. And pretty soon, I was able to throw that pack away. And that is what a clear conscience is. And the resurrection allows me to have that because of the forgiveness and because of the power of a resurrected life. And you know, I've never looked back. I try every day now that I've learned.
Right, not to refill that pack on your back.
Yeah.
Be sure it's empty every day.
And I do every day. Mm-hmm. And, at night I go, there's stuff back in the pack. What's the pack doing back there? I thought I had shed it, mm-hmm. but it's human nature to carry it.
It is.
And that has helped me so much to live with a clear conscience, which is one of the great benefits of the resurrection. Because, you know, you have true hope because God hasn't just done something future. He's done something now.
Well, and he's done something deep, not just saved us and then we just go on the way we were. He changes us really in deep, deep places. That's the hope.
Yes. If you have not had an opportunity this Resurrection Day to read through 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about the impact of the resurrection. And you know, we could literally talk about it for mm-hmm. hours. Check it out. You are standing in grace if you believe, and reciting that and understanding that along with the 500 people at one time who were in the tidal wave, you're in the wave too.
Yeah, when you think about standing in grace, that's like standing in a spotlight and you try to move, you think, I'm going to go and do something else. But God has you in that spotlight all the time. Not a bad spotlight, but it's just a kind of a way to picture standing in grace.
If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to 4thStream.com and click on the radio button.